we would talk about El Elyon, and this name was first introduced to Abram in Genesis 14, and it was by Melchizedek, who was the king of Salem at the time. Salem eventually becomes Jerusalem, the same city where at the time the Canaanite religion was very heavily involved at the time where Joshua went in to conquer Jericho, and Adonizedek was the king at that time. But what we've learned so far is that El Elyon, in the name Most High, if not the name, but the concept, has been preserved through the heathen and Gentile nation. And we learned that even in the times where it wasn't mentioned, the concept of it was, even with Rahab, when she was the first Gentile that was invited into the family of the Israelites, and not only that, was brought into the lineage of Jesus Christ. And what a picture that is, and this name should mean something special to us because we're Gentiles. Should mean something that God used that name to hold a special place in His heart for the Gentile nation and to bring us into that covenant with the Jewish people. That's where we were. We've talked about how Elyon is often used to talk about things with strength, things with power, that were mighty things. So we know that that Elyon is a thing with strength. We talked about how El is just a name for God. It's kind of the shortened form of Elohim. El was the name for God, used also in describing many gods, or even secular gods, where El, the highest god in the Canaanite religion, was El. El was the highest god there. Very corrupt religion, very much they had many gods and goddesses. They even had a ritual that they did in their temples to help them with their fertility, that where they would have the wife of El, I think it was had a ritual where the wife of El would sleep with the god of Baal. Very just much corrupt and very much just a very warped sense of view of who God is and that there was multiple gods. And man, this fan is on, but I'm still warm up here. So it was just very corrupt religion. But we do see that even in the Canaanite religion, they had a highest god, and that god was El. So El is just a name for God. Elyon means strength or mighty. He's the most powerful God. He's the highest of gods. But we know that our God, Jehovah, as Abram put it, he said, "I know that God. I know who the Most High God is. It's Jehovah. It's the God that Israel serves." And that God is not the Most High of many gods. He's the Most High in that He is the possessor of heaven and earth. He controls everything. He's the most powerful being. He's all-powerful. We know that. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. And that's the God we serve. That's the Most High God. He's Most High in the things of His nature, in His dominion. His dominion, we know that He's made us a little lower than the angels and gave us dominion over the earth. But the angels were also called sons of God. Jesus was made flesh, but He was the Son of God. But angels are also described as the sons of God. And so we must realize that though we are not God, we are made in His image. We are made in His nature. Even when Adam and Eve had fallen, God was the one that said, they are become as one of us, knowing good and evil. But we see that in these times, God, who He is He's the Most High God. He's the one in control. He's the one that made heaven and earth. All things were made by Him and for Him. So who are we This is kind of where we left off. Who are we? According to El Elyon. Well, you fall into one of two people groups. You fall into the Gentiles or the Israelites, but no matter who we are, no matter our nationality, no matter our ethnicity, no matter what we identify as, you could say in this day and age, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter your past. You are included in all the world. That's just a matter of fact. We're included in all the world. And we're included when it says, for God so loved the world. It doesn't matter who you are. We could talk about who we are. We could talk about who we are as individuals. But in reality, in relation to El Elyon, we're the world. And for God so loved the world. And we all fall into that. So it's pretty simple. But how does that affect our relationship with him? Under this name, El Elyon, all may find hope. This is the name where it's like I said, we find a special place in it because it's been preserved by the Gentiles. But this name opens up a relationship with the Almighty God for all. And it's the name that we may all find hope because it's the name that brings us all into the covenant with him. Souls outside the elect can know him as their Savior. All may know his power. That's what Elyon means. That word is used as power. We talked about that with the behemoth in Job. We talked about the power was even described in certain creation. But all may experience God's power. Man, we want to see God do a work here in Viroqua. And we can because of the name Elyon. He has the power to do it. He's got the ability to do it, but we have to ask in faith, and we'll be getting into these studies on Sundays, Sunday mornings, and Sunday nights, and the things that God can do if we just believe. And so, El Elyon is the one that brings us all. You know, all the souls outside the people of Israel, God's chosen people, can know him as Savior because of the name El Elyon. And we can know his power. We can see his power. We can approach the throne of grace with boldness because of this name. And we see in Daniel chapter 7, verse number 18, Daniel chapter 7, verse number 18, it says, "But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever." And so we see this is prophecy. They're going to take the kingdom and they're going to possess it forever and ever, for all of eternity. Verse 22, it says, "Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon the earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise. And another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. And he shall speak great words and against the Most High." So he's going to speak great words against the Most High. This is the beast at the end times. And it says, "And shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High." So this kingdom under the whole heaven, to me that sounds like the whole world, is going to be given unto the saints of the Most High. Well, who are the saints of the Most High? All the ones who accept Christ. All the ones who, and that's all of them, Jew, Gentile, whoever it be, whoever is included in all the world that puts their hope, their faith and their hope in Christ. Just because the name El Elyon opens it up to everybody doesn't mean everyone's going to accept Christ. That's a sad truth, but it's the truth. All may find hope, but not all will find hope. Brother Stan just ran into a man yesterday who said, he said, why are you passing these out? And Brother Stan said, because the Bible's true and we want people to read the Bible. And he said, I don't believe it's true. And Brother Stan said, well, I do. I do believe it's true. And it's sad that not all will find hope, but all may find hope because of this name El Elyon. And so that's who these saints are, and that's who the kingdom is going to be given to. The people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. He said, you know, I was probably showing on the outward that what I saw and what was revealed to me, but I didn't say a word yet until this time. But we see that this kingdom is going to be given to the saints of the Most High, and so everyone has an invitation to the Most High, to access to the Most High, in these verses in Daniel 7. But to be added to this, everyone has an invitation to be added to the saints of the Most High. Everyone has an invitation to possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Everyone has this promise that they can receive, that they can accept, and they can be added to these saints if they only place their trust and their faith in Jesus Christ. But it's all given to us through the Most High, El Elyon. In El Elyon, we see that he delights in those who delight in him. What the Most High delights in is a life and heart in accordance with his own. A life that's willing to sacrifice because he was willing to sacrifice. A heart that loves others and puts God first and the will of God first because he did. El Elyon loved the whole world, and Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, you know, you say to love those that are good to you, but I say even love your enemies, even those that curse you, bless them. And so for El Elyon to love the whole world, he expects for us to do the same. When we delight in him, when we have the heart of him, when we have a heart in accordance to his heart and a life in accordance to his life. So this is the witness of his beloved son in the gospel of Luke 6:35. It says, love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And ye shall be children of the highest. That's El Elyon. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. So that we ought to have a life and a heart in accordance with his, to even love our enemies and to be kind even to the unthankful. Man, it's easy to get into this rut when you keep doing things for somebody, and they show no appreciation whatsoever. And it's easy to kind of just give up on them and say, you know what, I'm not doing anything more for their unthankful, that unthankful little twerp or something like that, you know. But it's especially when it's somebody you thought you were helping them and they didn't care. They just wanted more. They just wanted they never did anything in return. And it's easy even in our marriage to do things expecting appreciation or expecting something in return, and we never receive it. It's easy to become bitter. It's easy to become resentful. It's easy to let that become between us and our spouse. And so But he, it says not only is he kind to the unthankful, but he's kind to the evil. Do good to those that hurt you and despitefully use you. He's kind even to the evil. Acts 10:35 demonstrates the all-inclusive gospel. It says, in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Every nation is accepted. This is the glorious teaching in the name El Elyon, Most High. That he loves all. He's kind to all. And we're children of the highest, so we ought to be kind, and even to those that we don't believe deserve kindness. We're human. We can have a human thought of people and have an evil thought towards somebody because of something they've done to us. There's a saying that has a lot of truth, but seems kind of silly, and it's hurt people hurt people. But it's true. People that have been hurt are oftentimes the ones that hurt others. The people that are hurting are the ones that are a little more short-tempered or a little more, they have a fuse, and once that fuse is gone, man, they'll say some hurtful things. Hurt people, but we're still commanded to love. Even when we're hurt, we're still commanded to love. And we ought to love others, even those that hurt us, but also we're not to have an evil thought towards somebody. Somebody that doesn't match your personality, and you get annoyed with them. Man, I just don't understand why they do it this way, or I don't understand why they talk like that. I don't understand why they don't see that that's wrong. And it's easy, especially as Christians, when we know the truth, even to look at other Christians and say, I just don't get it. I don't understand. But we're supposed to love them. We love them where they're at, but we love them to where they need to be. We maybe take them by the hand and guide them to the truth. We can't just expect that everyone should be reading the Bible for themselves. We can't expect everyone to just know the truth and everyone just to know how to find the truth. Sometimes it takes a more mature Christian to guide them in love. But then it also demonstrates an all-inclusive gospel that it's not just to the Jewish. And despite what some preachers preach, it's not that the, and I don't think any of you are listening to those preachers, but I know of a couple preachers that preach that pretty much salvation has been removed from the Jewish people because they weren't producing fruit, and that the church has replaced Israel in the promise. But I don't believe that. I believe that when it says in every nation, that's including the nation of Israel, but it's also including the nation of America. It's also including the nation of Africa, the nation of South America, and things like that. In every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Every nation. Anybody that feareth Christ and worketh righteousness. Now that's not a work salvation. That's a salvation that produces works. I don't quote John Calvin much, but John Calvin said faith alone saves, but faith that saves is never alone. It's always going to produce works. You shall know them by their fruit. And worketh righteousness, we're accepted with him, but that's open to every nation. So, if rightly received, this name will increase our faith and our hope in God. It increases our faith knowing that the invitation is to all. It gives us a further understanding of the gospel, but it also increases our hope and what God can do as the Most High. Though he is so high, though he is the highest, and though he is righteous, he owns and claims us as his children. in spite of our fall, in spite of the curse of sin, and in spite of what we've done, because he is righteous and perfect, that he restored the promise to us. That's our faith and hope that's in God, is that he restored the promise. We talked about that, the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant, man, it wasn't flawless. It couldn't be made perfect because we couldn't keep the law. But the new covenant between God and God can't be broken, because he's perfect and he's a covenant keeper. And he restored that promise to us. And the name El Elyon brings us into that covenant with God, even the Gentiles. If misunderstood, this name could lead us to regard our fallen state as good. And I'll explain this, but it considers the voice of our own desires as the voice of God. We make ourselves God. We worship the creation over the Creator. We lean on our own understandings. We rely on good works to save us. Salvation is to all that God created. If we misunderstand what that truly means, it can cause us to have a shallow salvation that's not real. It can cause us to make ourselves God. Well, as long as I'm a good person, there is a reason the Bible says not of works, lest any man should boast. Because that's making yourself a God. That's making yourself higher than somebody else. That's putting yourself in the place of El Elyon, and it's making yourself the judge. And that's not how God intended for it to be. So these worldly philosophies, as we just named a few of them, are evidence of those who do not know the name El Elyon, the ones who don't realize that he's the judge. The last Antichrist claim and boast will be a divine humanity. That's going to be what he relies on, is that we already see these things where, you find your truth. Have we heard that phrase? You find, as long as you find your truth, find out who you are. And learn to love yourself before you can love other people. These are what the world's teaching these days. You can't love people until you learn to love yourself. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that you're supposed to love others and to love Christ. The first two commandments are to love Christ and love others, not yourself. And so we have these philosophies that are being pushed by the world that are completely contradictory to God's word and his plan, because we've made ourselves God and we think we know better than God. But that's not a new thing. You see that all over Scripture where people think they know better than God. So we as men in the fallen life and independence from God, we will assume a position that can only be truly possessed by us as partakers of the life of God in Christ Jesus. That's the only way that we can possess this life, that we can possess in our fallen state, in our independence from God. The only way we can assume the position as a saint at the end times is by being partakers of the life of God through Christ Jesus. He gave his life so that we may have part of that life. We must know and understand that this calling and what we really are. The name El Elyon brings a great responsibility to us. Until we understand the calling and until we understand who we really are and compared to the Most High God, we will never understand the depth and fullness of God's purpose and plan for our lives. Though fallen, man is a son of the Most High. And El Elyon is an integral part of one harmonious whole of God's fullness. It really, El Elyon kind of encompasses a lot of Elohim, being the righteous one, being the judge, being the creator. And we see a lot of God's fullness it being tied into El Elyon, though it's not doesn't reveal every part of who God is. It reveals a lot of who God is. But not only where righteousness and love are one, which seems kind of like an obvious thing that righteousness and love should be one, but when you think of righteousness, we think, oh, you know, righteousness is good, love is good, why aren't they one? But righteousness sometimes demands judgment. And love is the one that replaces our judgment with the judgment on Christ. Righteousness would have been that we were judged for our sin. Love is the reason Christ was judged for our sin. But they become one. There was a righteous judgment, but the righteous judgment was placed on Christ because of love, and that's how they become one. But it's also where the election of some, the Jewish people, and the final salvation of all may both be seen as consistent parts of one purpose in Christ and the perfecting of the design of God, our Creator. The Jewish people were the chosen people of Christ, but through El Elyon, the final salvation of all, and not just the Jewish, was brought. So we see that the Word of God, the Word, whether as law, commandment, or gospel, the new covenant reveals to us, and the church, as we go and go and share the gospel, we re-echo this message that the new covenant reveals to us, and that is for the furtherance of the gospel and the cause of Christ, even to the uttermost parts of the world. That's our job. We go and we share the gospel that this new covenant reveals to us, that El Elyon reveals to us that it's not by commandment anymore. It's not the law, but it's by salvation to all. So, in conclusion, I know I've been going for a while here. We're almost done here. Conclusion, El Elyon is a revelation of himself that men may know and trust and joy in him. And then there is a mystery of the nature of God and the gospel revealed in Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3, we'll close with this, if I can get to it here. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 1, it says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if ye have heard the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery." So now we see the mystery of the nature of God and the gospel revealed in this, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when ye read, ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles, listen to this now, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, and of the same body, and what else? And partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. So we see that this is opened up to the Gentiles, and that we're fellow heirs of the same body, and we are able to be partakers in Christ by the gospel. The promise was to the Jews, but Gentiles are grafted in through the gospel, and now are blessed to be partakers in the promise. What beauty that is, that promise that we studied all the way back at Elohim, the very first name of God that we studied, is now revealed to the Gentiles in El Elyon. So that's what we have for tonight. So.